This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good morning to you all. It's Pastor Brian de Villiers. I'm so glad to be again with you this morning as we gather around the Word of God to study it today. We come to the last of our 12 studies on the life of Christ, and today I want to speak to you about the certainty of His return. We're basing a lot of things on Matthew chapter 24. No study of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ would be complete which did not include the great truth of His personal return. We shall be reminded in this study that this important doctrine is repeated over and over again throughout the Bible. In spite of the fact, however, there are many who do not believe and rejoice in the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ will return a second time. There are at least five types of people who represent five different attitudes towards the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, the Bible tells us in the last days there'll be scoffers. They say, since the Father hath fallen asleep, there's been the promise that He's coming, but He hasn't come. 2 Peter 3:3. Then there's the prejudice of those who have been turned away from the truth by unwise teachers, date fixers, people who are always fixing dates. No one knows the day nor the hour. Jesus Himself says that to us. Only My Father in heaven knows that. Number three, those who are ignorant of the truth. They're ignorant of the truth of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, those who accept false views of the second advent. And number five, those who believe that He is coming again. Many, many Christians in the creeds of the church tell us that He will come again. Many of the creeds that we say in different churches believe in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there are a vast number of Christians who believe that the same Lord Jesus who was born in Bethlehem, who lived and died and rose again and ascended, and who is now exalted in heaven, will come again the second time, literally, personally, bodily, visibly, triumphantly, among the reasons for believing in the second advent of our Savior. The following are surely the most satisfying to us. Number one this morning, the Scripture gives constant testimony to the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ will come again. If you take your Bible and read it through from the beginning, you'll be amazed at the reiterated truth of the second coming of Jesus. By the time you get to Genesis, and when you get to Genesis, we get the promise of the coming of Jesus. That's the first time in the Bible a promise is given. We're not long into the Garden of Eden. And in Genesis 3 verse 15, it says this, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will bruise his head, but you shall bruise his heel." It's the promise of Christ's victory over the devil at Calvary's cross. It tells you, He will bruise his head, but you will only bruise the heel. Jesus would die, yes, but He would not remain in the grave. On the third day, He rose again according to the Scriptures. And so this is the first promise given. A Messiah will come. You will be face to face with the first wonderful book promise of the Savior, who would come to earth twice, first to suffer and die, and then to reign and triumph forever. If we were to take out of our Bible every reference to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would have a terribly mutilated book. This is no petty theory accepted by a few cranks. It's a major doctrine of the Word of God. It has been said by scholars that the second coming of Christ is mentioned no less than 1,200 times in the Old Testament and 300 times in the New Testament. We read our Bible and believe it. We cannot do other than be certain that our Savior is coming again. The fact of his return is clearly, emphatically stated in predictions, in type, in parable, and in promise. In the Old Testament, the prophecies relating to the Lord Jesus Christ link together his comings. We find them a double prophetic picture of Jesus Christ in his suffering as he is the King of Kings. Isaiah, when we read the words of Isaiah 53, they speak to every heart, and I'm sure it will speak to your heart this morning. I want to just read just a few lines from Isaiah 53 because it tells us plainly and clearly about Jesus. He's the one that would suffer, who has believed our report, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed. For he shall grow before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. When we see him, there's no beauty. We should desire him. He's despised, rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So it tells us, Scripture tells us, about the suffering one that he will suffer. He's revealed as the kingly one. It's impossible to harmonize these prophetic pictures by trying to make them refer to his first advent, because they don't refer to only to his first advent. And we need to see that, because many times when we read Scripture, we believe it only tells what will come to pass, and it talks about the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to see it in Scripture. Yes, it does speak about his first advent and about his coming. But you know, we need to understand and see some things clear. What does it say to us in Isaiah 9? It tells about his birth. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. And upon the throne of David and over his dominion to establish it, and with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. And so there's a thing about Jesus coming. We need to hear that, referring to his first coming. But only the first aspect of these prophecies has thus so far been fulfilled. The prophecies which speak of him, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, awaits fulfillment. Scripture knows no first coming without a second coming. The two comings are intertwined, interwoven, inseparable in the prophetic word. Notice that both advents are proclaimed in the Scriptures. We've read from Genesis 3:15 about Jesus and the promise that Jesus will come. When we turn to the book of Hebrews again, and Hebrews chapter 9, and that tells us quite clearly about the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming. This is what it tells us. Hebrews 9, and we read here from verse 24. For Christ has not entered the holy place with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. And then it tells us, not that he himself offered himself often. The high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer from the foundation of the world. But now once at the end of the age, he has appeared to put away the sacrifice of sin of himself. So Christ, verse 28, has offered once to bear the sins of many. And to those who eagerly await him, will he appear the second time, apart from sin, unto salvation. These words are talking about that Jesus paid the price for us on the cross of Calvary. He paid the price for all our sins. But then it tells us again, he offered himself to bear the sins of many once. And those who eagerly await him, he will appear a second time. That's the promise of the coming of Jesus. Number three, the Lord Jesus clearly stated that he would come again. One of the best loved verses in the Bible is found in John 14, 1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. He believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There's the promise. I will come again, receive you. We find our Lord's pledge, his word, that he will come again for all his blood-bought children. As we turn to 1 John 5:9, this is what it tells us. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9, we read these words. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. It's the witness. Jesus came, but Jesus will come. We see the witness of men, but we have the witness of the Lord himself, the Son of God, and he cannot lie. Here are his own words he tells us about these things. Jesus tells us about he will come again in power and great glory. And we read the parables of our Lord and see how full they are of truth, of the second advent. We believe he's coming again. He said he would. At his ascension, the angels who appeared on the Mount of Olives said he would come again a second time. And that's what we read from Acts chapter 1. And we have the wonderful account here. And I want to read it to you this morning so you can get the full thrust of it from Acts chapter 1, and this is what it says to us, verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, he went up, and behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up? The same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come again in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Isn't that wonderful? There's the promise. The same Jesus is coming again. And you will agree that these words are so clear that they cannot permit any of any other interpretation being ascribed to them. The testimony of the angels is of great value, for the angelic testimony is concerning his birth. Remember when he came to earth in Luke chapter 1? They said, Glory to God in the highest. A Savior has been born in Bethlehem. And they rejoiced about it. And so it tells us again that Jesus came, but Jesus will come again. And then we read from the number five, the apostolic testimony according to the New Testament epistles is emphatic that the Lord will come again. 22 out of 27 New Testament books speak of the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul constantly teaches us the great doctrine in Luke. As we turn to Thessalonians 1 and 2, that's just a reference I'm giving you, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. What does he say to us about it? He says, the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's coming again. That's what it tells us. James tells us he's coming again. Peter tells us he will come again. And John tells us the same thing in Revelation 1. Behold, he cometh on the clouds, and every eye will see him. Isn't that wonderful? That's the promise we have. It tells us in all the epistles that Jesus is coming again. Number six, since the closing of the canon of Scripture, There's been abundant testimony to the truth of the second coming of Christ. For over 1,900 years and more, God had his witnesses to the truth. The writings of the early fathers, just think about it, the early church fathers, Clement of Rome, Polycarp, Ignatius of Antioch, Justin Martyr, and others reveal their belief that Jesus Christ will come again. All the reformers, John Wycliffe, John Calvin, Martin Luther, also believed and they preached in the second coming of Jesus. Also, one cannot help being impressed with the fact that all the great evangelists and preachers whom God has signally used have believed in proclaimed the Lord Jesus is coming again. I listened last week again to one of the old messages given by Dr. Billy Graham. And he spoke about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've remembered also the evangelist Reinhard Bonnke speaking about the coming of Jesus. It is also deeply significant that all the well-known Protestant statements of belief include the second coming of Jesus as one of the cardinal doctrines of the faith of all Christian churches. Alas, that there has been a departure from these truths, from which we held to be so precious by our forefathers. They believed in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 7, the second advent of Jesus is a dispensational and a logical necessity. God is working to a plan. And his ultimate act will be the enthronement of his Son as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We read about this account that he's pointing forward to these things. We read from Philippians chapter 2. And I want to read here from verse 5. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now listen carefully. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's coming a day when Jesus will return. That's the promise of his word to us. He says, I will come again and receive you unto myself. We're going to be there. Knees are going to bow before him. And if they haven't bowed the knee now, in that day, they will be forced to bow the knee. Before this final victory can be accomplished, Christ himself must come back to this earth. And thus, as we come to the end of our series of studies, may we love him more dearly, live for him more faithfully, labor for him more zealously, and look to him continually. You know, the Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, looking off unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I want to close with a story which was a true story told by the chaplain of Queen Victoria. The chaplain of Queen Victoria one Sunday morning preached on the coming of Jesus and told the people in St. George's Chapel there in Windsor that Jesus will be coming back again someday. And when the service ended, he went to the door and the Queen Victoria came out. And she took him by the hand and she said, oh, I wish Jesus would come in my day. And her chaplain said to her, Your Majesty, Why would you want him to come back in your day? She said, I will take my crown and I'll cast it at his feet, because he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. Even Queen Victoria believed in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about us Christians today? We need to talk about, you know, I love the words of Dr. Billy Graham. He said every night he looked out of his window at home before he went to bed and he said, Lord Jesus, you haven't come today, but you could be coming tomorrow. We need to live in the expectancy of the coming of Jesus Christ. Live in the expectancy he's going to come. Because he will come again, as he has promised us, he will come. But the question that we face this morning is this. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Because if you know Jesus, then I need to tell you on the authority of the Bible that you are ready. If you've been born again of his Spirit, if you've received him into your life, then you have the assurance your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life and you're going to heaven when Jesus comes or you die. Either way, you will see him face to face. But if you do not know him, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and the Savior of your life, then you won't be looking forward to the coming of Jesus. Now, I would like to say to you this morning, won't you make that decision today? Don't put it off till tomorrow. It takes guts, yes, real guts, to make a decision for Jesus Christ. And many people put it off and delay, say, not today, not today, tomorrow, tomorrow, and they put it off and they die without ever making that decision. This morning, the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart, drawing you to the Savior this morning. You need to make a decision. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to be ready that when you come, I don't know when you come, because we don't know the day or the hour, but when you do come, I want to be ready because I've accepted Jesus into my life and he now lives within by the power of the Holy Spirit. Won't you pray this prayer after me this morning? Say, dear Lord Jesus, I realize this morning that I'm a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior. Thank you for dying for me on Calvary's cross, for all my sins, past, present, and future. Thank you for dying for me. I now ask you to come into my heart, into my life. I receive you as the Savior of my life. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you will help me from now on to live and be guided by the Spirit of God, to know that Christ dwells within me. I'm his child. And I'm his child forever. If you prayed that prayer this morning, you've been born again into the family of God. The Bible says you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. That's all you had to do. Believe in Jesus and you will be saved. I thank you for that decision. If you need further help, won't you contact Radio K Pulpit 021-180-5744. People will help you. 021-180-5744, or you can contact me, Pastor Brian, on 021-552-4096, 021-552-4096, Mondays to Thursdays between 9 a.m. and 12 noon. I pray this series on the life of Christ has encouraged you as we've studied it together. I pray it's been a blessing to you, and I pray today that Jesus will live larger in your life by the power of his Spirit, that the world will see Christ in you, the hope of glory. God bless you. Have a tremendous day. In Jesus' name, amen.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.